everybody. Welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I'm your host, Michelle Fisher, offering a special story as digital contributor to ApostropheMagazine.com. Today, I would like to introduce you to Scott Chesney, a life coach and consultant to hundreds of individuals and business executives, providing presentations on how anyone can overcome adversity and develop a more positive approach. That positive approach caught my eye one day in a few seconds of a video. I knew I must have him on my podcast. I sent him an email, and I was so happy he agreed to be interviewed. I'm so excited to welcome Scott Chesney. Hey there, Scott.
Hey, Michelle. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Glad to be with you.
I'm very glad to be with you as well. You know, let's talk about a little bit about your condition, and tell me how to pronounce it first.
Well, I will tell you this. It's pronounced Foix Allogénine Syndrome, so it's a long French name, but I'm still not convinced to this day, and I'm coming up on my 30-year anniversary of being paralyzed as a result of this condition. I'm still not convinced, Michelle, that this is exactly what happened to me, but I'm also in a place where I don't necessarily need to know, but it's just it's so rare. And the way it was actually diagnosed and everything else is there's still that level of uncertainty as to exactly what happened to me.
and actually, I want to know, too, about how it affected you at the age of 15. It happened in 1985 or 86 when you were 15.
1985.
When you were 15. How did that affect you as a 15-year-old?
It was challenging. I'll take your listeners really quick through this, is that I was 15 years old, sophomore at Verona High School in Verona, New Jersey, and woke up one morning after a high school basketball game and couldn't feel my left toe, like when your foot falls asleep, or a part of your body, like those pins and needles, and thought nothing of it. And 48 hours later, that numbness went up one leg, went up a second leg, and left me paralyzed, unable to move and feel normally from about my belly button down to my toes. There was no accident, no injury, no trauma from the game the night before, anything like that. It's a very rare condition, they say. It's congenital, so I was born with it. Could have gone my entire life without anything happening, but at that moment, December 28th, 1985, it was my time. It was like a sleeping volcano. And what happened is that they said I was born with a malformation of blood vessels lodged in the spinal cord. And I could have gone my entire life without anything happening, but at that moment, the blood vessels burst, bled, and created almost like a stroke in the spinal cord that resulted in the paralysis. And so I was quite fortunate that it didn't ascend further to the point where my breathing would have been compromised. Sure. I still have full use of my arms and my hands, and so I'm totally independent, which I'm grateful for each and every day. Sure. But when it first happened, Michelle, it was you know what? And everyone reacts to some type of trauma or some type of adversity differently. It really didn't faze me. And I think because as quickly as it entered my life, and it wasn't an accident or an injury, and it was some kind of illness, I thought the illness would go away. I would get better and regain the use of my legs.
Sure.
So I didn't realize what doctors would later term a permanence of this. And so I just really kind of just moved on with my life, lived life from a wheelchair. But I have to believe that, and it happens to everyone at a different stage of his or her life when battling a disability, is that it comes in spurts, and at some moment it affects you greater than others. And it took a while, but I'm going to say probably about 9 years into my paralysis is when, you know, things really started to affect me, and I started examining it in a different way, and finally got around to grieving over what happened to that 15-year-old kid. But you know what, as you well know, Michelle, is that with any type of disability, I mean, there's some who it hits them like a ton of bricks right away. Yeah. And then there are others who kind of go their whole lives without possibly anything affecting them, even though I do believe that it eats away at us at some level. Sure. At different times in our lives.
I mean, obviously, was there sadness and anger during that time? And if there was, how did you deal with
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question. Is that nobody on the outside would know anything because you know what? I always had that smile on my face, and I always share with people through my work, Michelle, is that you can't change the past, but what you can do is rewind the tape of your life and understand why we made decisions and choices that we did, and sometimes if necessary, reinterpret things from our past, not being able to change it, but reinterpret it to understand its purpose and its place for when it happened. So I can take myself back to those initial days of when I was lying in that hospital bed and I had dozens of people each and every day, beginning with my mother and father and brother who were in my bedroom, who were in my hospital room each and every day. And I remember connecting with eyes and seeing every set of eyes who came to visit me being the size of golf balls and having tears in those. And I know, not consciously, Michelle, but subconsciously, I said to myself, wow, that pain that you're all feeling out there is far more hurtful, far more disheartening than anything that I could be feeling myself. So I know, almost like subconsciously, I said to myself, you know, I need to be courageous. I need to be an inspiration. I need to let everyone know that I'm okay because I can't deal with that pain that you're all feeling. So I shut down everything that you can imagine and you would say is justifiable and understandable for a 15-year-old kid to feel. But like anything, I think it's there waiting for you. And when the moment is right for you to really begin what I call that journey of self-discovery, in which you dive into the disability and you understand its place and purpose again, and you're able to just give yourself permission to feel your feelings, feel, as you mentioned before, the sadness, feel the anger, but also move to a place of, you know, feeling the empowerment, feeling the independence, feeling the gratitude. I mean, people don't put gratitude and disability in the same sentence. And I like to say, why not? Because there's so much in the past 30 years, Michelle, that I'm extremely grateful for. And as a result of my disability or what my disability has helped to deliver in my life. But as you said before, and I appreciate the compliment, is that, you know, but our disability doesn't define us. We define it. And I don't say but, I say and. It's a part of our lives. And the lessons and the messages that each and every day, wheelchair, this paralyzing experience, as I call it, is teaching me. I'm extremely grateful for it. So each and every day, it's like heaven and hell. And guess what? I wouldn't have it any other way, because in heaven, it's a place of bliss and a place of sheer enjoyment. And then those moments of hell, in the moment, it feels like it's the end of the world. But looking back on our moments of hell, wow, the character and the strength and the courage and everything else that we can extract from those moments now really helped to mold and sculpt us into the person we are today.
Let's talk a little bit about, you obviously speak to many people, but you also speak to kids about acceptance and tolerance and giving them the power to grow. So talk about your foundation of Raising Hope.
Raise Hope, just Raise, and then Raise. The Raising.
Yes.
That's the television show that's on TV.
Yes.
No connection whatsoever. So it's just Raise Hope, R-A-I-S-E, and then Hope. And this is a number of years I was approached by a couple gentlemen who had worked on Wall Street for a number of years. And the one gentleman was responsible for firing the other gentleman because he had his vocal cords removed as a result of Agent Orange. He was in the Vietnam War. And as a result of Agent Orange, had cancer and had his vocal cords removed and was no longer able to communicate in that definitive way anymore. So their boss, the two of them's boss, told the one gentleman, you have to fire your colleague. He can no longer do his job, which in that role, it needed to be modified. But there were so many other things that can be done. So they realized this isn't right. This is not right that I am in this position to fire him. There's still a valuable contribution that my colleague can make. And so that was really where the seed was planted. And Raise Hope was born to say, You know, people with disabilities can find a place, whether it be in financial services, whether it be in any industry, and realize that there is a skill set there, that there are talents, and is to really build the awareness of corporate America and let them know that, and not an expensive one, which we touched upon before, a place of fear. Because when a person, and I'll say that head of the corporation or the head of HR or anybody in general, there's a fear that runs through us when we see somebody with a disability. It could be a physical disability. It could be a learning disability. There's a fear. And I realized what that fear is more than anything is that a lot of times it says, wow, that could be me. Yeah. And rather than I say, you know, we can do one of two things with fear. We can either embrace it and we can learn more about it and we can take our lives to the next level, or we can let it control us and dwell on it, and it could become more paralyzing emotionally than any type of physical paralysis I sit with today. But so it's a two-way street, Michelle, is that so much people will say is that, hey, you know what, it's about corporate America standing up and doing the right thing and hiring people with disabilities, hiring veterans who return from the war with and without disabilities. And while that's important, I also, and there's a lot of education that's needed and a lot of understanding and with regards to accessibility and technological advances on the side of corporate America. The other part of that street is that we, and I say a collective we, people with disabilities, we're waiting for that red carpet, and I'm generalizing here, to be rolled out, whereas I'm trying to help people through my empowerment training is to say, guess what? Sometimes it will be rolled out for you, in which I want you to go full steam ahead. Other times, guess what? You're going to have to roll that carpet out yourself and pave a way. And if you're looking to compete on a level playing field with those who don't have any type of disabilities, then you want a level playing field. You don't want anyone necessarily holding your hand, giving you any special treatment. But if accessibility is put into place, technological advances are there, I believe that level playing field is becoming more clear each and every day.
What was that turning point that you said to yourself, you know what, I can turn this into a positive instead of a negative thing, and I'm going to help others with that? When was that turning point?
It was actually during my first trip. I've taken two trips around the world, and that first trip by myself, I went to 15 countries in 15 months, and I was given a trip, all expenses paid, to leave whenever I want, to go wherever I want. And it was a phenomenal journey. But even through that, I wasn't appreciating it. So I finally got to the point, Michelle, where I said, you know what, all this that I'm creating outside of myself, which was amazing and wonderful, still wasn't giving me that joy and satisfaction. So I had heard before about the journey within, going within oneself and finding out what it is that's going on within ourselves. I'd always heard about it, but it seemed so out there, so far removed from the physical life that I had led and the material world that I had lived in. And so, but I finally got to that point where there was nowhere else I could turn. And so once I finally turned inward, that's when a whole new world opened to me, and one that was so foreign to me, but yet was always waiting for me to visit it.
Well, and I remember looking at a snippet of the video of Mobility Works, and you said something that totally resonated with me deep inside myself. You said, my disability doesn't define me, I define it. And for me, obviously, you and I don't have the same situation. My feelings are deeply connected with yours because I was angry too. So how do you tell people that you have the power inside yourself to choose or how you define your life?
Absolutely. You know, it was a few weeks ago, I was giving a presentation at a local college here in New Jersey, and one of my audience members asked me, Scott, if there was one word that could best describe who you are, what would you want that one word to be? Which I was just really taken back. I was blown away. I thought it was a phenomenal question. They all are. But all of a sudden, I went into my heart where I get all my answers now. I know what my mind has to say. It's usually in a place of fear, disbelief, or playing small in life. But my heart's all about courage and expansion and subscribing to that belief that anything is possible. So I went into my heart quickly, and right away, the word real came up. The word real came up. And what that means is that, you know what, real means is that I can have as many experiences as possible. And that allows me to connect with people from all walks of life. But real in the sense of making peace with the past, giving yourself permission to feel your feelings. You know what, if you're feeling angry, don't suppress it. Obviously, don't go and take it out on someone else. But give yourself permission to channel that anger, to release it, to give yourself that opportunity to feel the sadness, to grieve over if there's any type of loss. I mean, I'm not just talking about the loss of one's leg, like in my case, but the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of an opportunity, the loss of a friend. I mean, whatever that may be, is that I think it's so important for us to feel our feelings. To feel the happiness, to feel the gratitude, all those emotions as well. And to feel that and then begin to process what it is once you have felt those feelings. Begin to process, you know, why? Why at this stage in my life has this experience taken place? Why have I? And this is where a lot of people struggle, because we like to play the blame game and point the fingers at other people. But I like to say, you know, just own it. Own everything about your life. Been happily married for 16 years, and while there's times, Michelle, I'll say, oh, my wife was 99% at fault there. She'll tell you differently. She'll tell you differently, but 99% it was her fault. I can't change her. I can't change anything about her. I can only take responsibility for that 1% that's my issue. And once you work on that, obviously it's more than the 1%, but when you work on that percentage and you own it and muddle through that, is that that's where you see exponential growth. That's where you're able to see yourself just evolve and take your life to the next level. And it's a journey. There's a great line. It says, life is a journey, not a destination. I like it.
Oh,
it sounds good.
I love that. But too.
I modified it, because I really believe life is a bunch of destinations.
Sure.
And the more that you can be in those destinations, whether it be your home, whether it be another country, whether it be in the embrace of someone, is that the more destinations, that's all part of the journey. And the more that you can be in the moment, which is all that we have control over, I really believe the more you can appreciate your life, appreciate your past, what's in your rearview mirror now, again, being able to constantly reflect on it, but also having an eye on the future and knowing really full well, the only thing we could do with that is predict it. So the more that we can be real and be in the moment, I think is when we start to really see our lives transform.
As you look to the future then, did you ever think that you'd be where you are? You call yourself a survivor and a thriver of this condition. Did you ever think that you'd be here right now doing what you're doing?
No. If you were to ask me, and a lot of people ask me, like, oh, wow, if this never happened to you, what would you be doing? I had two dreams. One of them I was determined to make come true before paralysis, and I either wanted to play quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners football team or play basketball at North Carolina, where Michael Jordan played. Those were my two visions. Those were my two goals. And I was doing everything in my power to make one of them come true. So beyond that, no, I would have never expected this. And again, I don't wish my disability upon my worst enemy. I don't. But I'm also in a place of, you know, realizing that, you know, it's mine. It's been given to me. And while it's been given to me, guess what? I know that there's the strength and the conviction and the intelligence and whatever else goes along with this that is not only going to help me to survive it. I get tired for a period of time there, Michelle, of just having people say, wow, you're a survivor. You're a survivor.
Sure.
And it's nice. It's admirable. But I started to say, hey, you know what? No, I'm going to thrive in the face of my disability.
Sure.
And it's almost like gratitude and disability in the same sentence. People are like, wait a minute, you can't put thrive in the same sentence with disability? And I said, says who? Says who? Sure you can. I meant, just watch me. Just watch me. And because I love, see, I'm in the place right now is people say, well, you can't be that or you can't do that.
Don't you love and being I'm wrong? All,
I love it. And I take that
too.
As fuel and as energy. So I'm like, you know what? I'm either going to go around you. I'm going to go over you. I'm going under you. And if I'm strong enough, I'm going through you.
Sure.
But I'm going to exhaust everything in my power. But also realizing, which I'm fine with too, Michelle, is that there are things that I can't do in life. And I'm okay with that. I mean, there are things that, you know what, maybe if like I research this and I do this, is that things that I say I can't do, I can. I realize that there are some things. And there are things that I absolutely can't do. One, and they're not even my team. I can't kick field goals for the New York Giants right now. They need help. I'm not doing that anytime soon. And guess what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But this is where my work, you talk about acceptance and tolerance. Everyone with whom I come into contact is my equal. Meaning, you know what? I have strengths in some of my areas that you don't. You have strengths in some areas of your life that I don't. You together with any other human being on the face of this earth, Michelle, and I will tell you, that is my equal, no better and no worse than I am. And I have to tell you, it's such a real attitude, and it allows me to connect with people. I've met privately with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. I've met with beggars out on the corner. Just saw one yesterday after I did a presentation in New York City. And guess what? They're the same exact human beings. Their heart is beating. There's feelings inside. There's potential. There's the ability to create beyond our wildest dreams. Our greatest power, Michelle, our power to choose. We can go beyond our wildest dreams. And watch out.
Yep.
With this power to choose, we can create a life of misery if we so choose as well, which just leads me to telling people the only place a true disability can reside is in one's attitude, and that's a choice.
Well, Scott, I cannot even tell you how awesome this has been. I'm so happy to know you now and call you one of my friends.
Absolutely. I look forward to our next encounter, Michelle.
Yes.
My friend.
Me too. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. And my dog started barking now, so they know that the time is up.
All right. Well, thank you for listening today, everybody. Be sure to like A View From My Window with Michelle Fisher on Facebook. Follow my blog, My Life and Stories Behind the Mic, and join me on Twitter at MFView. You can always learn more by visiting arcind.org and apostrophemagazine.com. Thanks you so much for listening today, everybody. As always, have a great day today. Bye-bye.